Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
You might find yourself on social media, whether it's, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, and you're scrolling. This happens to me. And I think, what the heck am I doing? What am I doing here? What does this even mean? What's this all about? It's just, I'm scrolling. I'm moving my finger up and down, reading, thinking, you know, engaging, for better or worse. Well, Chris Martin's with us. Chris is a regular guest on our show. He's a writer. His newest book is called Terms of Service, The Real Cost of Social Media. And Chris is here to ask us a question. Chris, hold forth. What's the question?
Hey, John, good to be here.
Yeah, thanks, man.
The question I have for us is a question I think we should all be asking if we use social media, which is, I think, about 80% of us, if you're listening and you're an American. The question I want us all to ask, and really it could come in two variants, so I'll give them both. The question is this: what do I hope Facebook does for me? And not just picking on Facebook. You could ask this of your favorite social media platform. Okay. What do I hope Instagram does for me? Or asked in another way, similar, what is my goal when I open Twitter? What's my goal when I open TikTok? Mm-hmm. What am I hoping happens for me or to me when I open these apps or log on to these websites on my computer?
Right.
I think a lot of us go about, you know, and this is kind of a life thing as much as it is a social media thing. But I think a lot of us go through life, and especially our life on social media, and just kind of let things happen to us rather than happening to the world around us. Now, there are certain things that happen to us that we can't control. You know, I've been in a car accident before that happened to me, and there's not a whole lot I could have done to that. And there are certain things in our lives that happen to us that are totally out of our control, and there's not a whole lot we can do except manage how we react to those things. But on social media, we don't have to let Facebook happen to us.
Yeah.
Or we don't have to let Twitter happen to us. There are so many friends or coworkers I've had over the years working in social media, as I have, who use it for themselves and complain about, like, Twitter just makes me so frustrated, or Facebook just leaves me feeling upset. And I get it. Those apps have done the same to me. But my friends and or coworkers who have said those things, kind of maybe complaining about those social media platforms, will then return to using them despite how these things maybe make us feel. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
I think there's a sort of like gambling vibe where it's like, oh, last time, and this is baked into the, we don't need to get into all the psychology of social media, but this is kind of baked into the psychology of social media. It's like, well, last time I used this social media platform, it made me frustrated, but maybe this time it'll make me happy. I don't really know. And the mystery is kind of part of the fun.
Yeah.
And I think that is part of what gets us sucked in. But I think too many of us go into using social media and just kind of, we sit back and we consume and we just let it happen to us. I'm a baseball guy. I think you're
talking for sure.
Your
yep.
affinity mm-hmm. for baseball. And,
yep.
And I think it's, when I used to play baseball, it was like, are you letting that grounder catch you on your heels? Mm-hmm. If anyone's played baseball and you play the infield or whatever, you let a grounder catch you on your heels. It eats you up. It's
yep.
also a term that's used. You let the grounder eat you up. And then what happens is it goes through your legs, or it bounces off your glove and goes over your shoulder or something like that. You need to be on your toes or on the balls of your feet, kind of ready to field that ground ball. I feel the same way about how we approach social media.
Yeah.
A lot of times we approach social media on our heels. You know, we're literally sitting back in our recliners or laying in our beds or whatever. And we're just kind of letting it wash over us and letting it make us feel certain ways. Whereas I think we should approach social media more intentionally, on the balls of our feet, on our toes even, ready to field whatever it is that's going to come at us, positive, negative, or somewhere in between.
Yeah. Okay. So that all sounds like, sorry, Chris, it all sounds like, you know, if you let it happen, then it just kind of sounds like a bad habit, right? I'm doing this, I'm getting on a Facebook or I'm getting on a Twitter because that's what I've done for the past number of X years, right? Sure. There's a conscious choice there whether we choose to get on or not. You know, you said something early on that 80% of people, at least in America, in some form or another, are choosing social media. What about the other 20%? What are they doing? Why do they say no to that? What, you know, their non-engagement in social media is pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, and I think that could be totally healthy. It also could be kind of unhealthy. When it comes to social media use, I think there are like sort of two ends of a spectrum. There's uncritical embrace and passive ignorance. And uncritical embrace is kind of what 80% of us maybe do. Those of us who use social media, we just embrace it. We're not very critical of it. We just kind of let it happen to us. And, oh, there's some new feature. Well, why don't I try that out? That seems cool. Or there's some new platform, some new social media app. I'll just try it out and see what happens. It seems kind of interesting. And we just uncritically embrace all of these new things that come our way.
Yeah,
that's one form of unhealth that I think most of us are prone to. The other form of unhealth may be among those 20% of folks who aren't using it. They just passively ignore social media. You know, when I first got a job in social media back in 2013, I had a really well-meaning family member who said, "Should you really be getting a job in social media? It just kind of seems like a fad. Like, I really think like it's going to be going away in the next few years."
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people here, even in 2022, still think of social media as like a sort of fad that like isn't impacting our lives in a big way.
Yeah.
And my hope is, especially over the last few years, we've come to recognize that no, it really does in some pretty consequential ways. And so my hope is that even if you're a part of the 20% of Americans who virtually never touch social media, A, good for you. Like, that's great. You don't have to worry about the distraction and all kinds of other things. But also, I would just ask you, if you are among those people, to not be ignorant of it. Like, kind of be the sort of nice, happy middle ground in between being uncritically embracing and passively ignorant, I think, is a sort of intentional engagement. Now, that intentional engagement doesn't have to be using it. I think it can just be like being aware of what these things are and what they're doing and maybe some of the statistics of how they're affecting people. Like earlier this year, when the data came out about how Instagram is having a negative effect on teen girls' mental health. I think it would be good if you were a parent of a teenager who's like, "I'm not into any of that social media stuff." Maybe, yeah, you don't use Facebook, you don't use Instagram, but it might be good for you to not be ignorant of the fact that Instagram may be negatively affecting the health of your teenage daughter.
Sure. And
or
certainly
your teenage son.
And if you've got a kid, I mean, you need to be on social media, right? I mean, I just think that that's sort of blind ignorance is not a way to approach it. You've got to know what your kid's doing, no matter if they're, you know, 10 or 25 in some way. Now, the weird thing to me about social media, Chris, is that, of course, it's going to be here. I don't, like you're saying, I don't think it's going to be, it's a fad. I don't think it's going to go away. But certainly the platforms themselves have evolved, are evolving, will change as time changes. And I believe for most people, our use or disuse of them also evolves, don't you think?
Oh, totally. Our relationship with social media is ever evolving. And in fact, I read a great article last week about what it's like to grow old online. because the earliest social, like, and I've also written recently about how social media is not just a youth ministry issue or a teenage issue, because the earliest Facebook users are now like pushing 40, right?
Right.
And like, I'm a young millennial and I'm 32.
Yeah.
So like, and I was on Facebook when I was 16. Mm-hmm. So if we have this idea that social media is like a young person's issue, that we need to put that by the wayside. Like, that is not the case anymore.
Yeah.
And so I think we're ever scouting into, like, if you imagine, like, we're always on the Oregon Trail of social media, if you will. Like, we're pushing west and we're reaching new territory. Not that new apps are coming out every day. I mean, new apps are coming out with relative frequency, but more so that we're pushing into, like, hey, there's a 50-year-old using, a 42-year-old using Facebook right now, who was using Facebook when they were in college.
Yeah.
And they have grown old on the internet, and they used to make fun of old people on the internet when they were 22 on Facebook. And now they are a quote unquote old person on the internet.
Surprise.
And that has a societal effect on us. It
sure
really does. And I think if we don't pay attention to those things, they can kind of sneak up on us and impact us in ways we don't pay attention to. So I'm not saying that everybody needs to become a social media expert and
sure
spend the amount of time reading the stuff that I do. But I do think that we should all be well-versed in social media and its effects on us, regardless of how much time we actually spend scrolling our preferred platform, very whether good. That's 0 hours a day or 2 hours a day.
Right. Okay. So then, depending upon the platform, I use social media for different things. Now, I got to say this. When I first came onto Facebook many, many years ago, like everybody, you were like, holy smokes, this is a playground. It's a way to, at least for me, to re-engage with people who I've lost contact with, right? Old friends from high school, old family members. You got to see things. And there was all these conversations. Now, for me, I kind of go, I'm pretty much over it. I don't post on Facebook hardly ever. I'm not really interested in what's out there. I appreciate the stalwarts who are still there, who are still talking about family and whatnot. It's not necessarily for me anymore. Twitter, I'm interested in Twitter because there's this conversation, there's ideas, there's, you know, back and forth, there's politics, there's all these social trends. That interests me. Instagram interests me in some ways because I love imagery and I want to see all that. There's a, it's a, an avalanche of imagery. So I guess probably, you know, my engagement with it is a little different than yours, even though there's a through line through it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I like Twitter for keeping up with sports news or social media developments or things like that. I like keeping track of, you know, I keep track of Facebook for, yeah, seeing some family members who I may, you know, I may only see twice a year at Thanksgiving and Christmas, sure. but I do want to know what's going on in their lives in March or in June or whatever.
Right.
And it's and we live, you know, we live 6 hours away from each other. So I think everybody uses social media differently. And I think I don't think there's an inherent evil way we all tend to use social media. We can all use it for poor ways, and in our sin, we can use it poorly. But I think a lot of us should probably have a just more intentional engagement with social media. Mm-hmm. I think health comes from having an intentional relationship with things. I mean, it comes from having an intentional relationship with food. You can just start eating super unhealthily if you just ate what you wanted all the time.
Sure.
And I think what a lot of us don't, and I think everyone listening would say, well, yeah, even if you're somebody who does that, like, yeah, man, I like pizza too much. I need to eat like half the amount of pieces of pizza that I eat when I eat pizza. Okay, sure. Great. We all recognize that. The problem is we don't really view social media the same way. We think we can kind of consume as much as we want and it won't affect us because it's not adding to a scale. It's not putting my blood pressure higher than it needs to be.
Right.
But because it's mental and spiritual, it's harder to measure. It's more abstract. And before we know it, we may find ourselves envying the lifestyle of our neighbor that we follow on Instagram, whereas, you know, a year ago when we weren't following that person, we would never consider whether or not the person had more money than we did or if they got to go on more vacations than we do. But now that we follow them on Instagram, you know, because they're our friend, why wouldn't we follow them on Instagram? Now we find ourselves, man, I really wish my husband or wife made more money so that we could go on vacations more. I wish I didn't have these darn kids so I could stop saving for college and we could have a nicer house. Or, you know, it's just so much. It just, because we don't intentionally engage, it's a lot easier for these things to creep in in a sort of sneaky way that we don't recognize. And if we get to that point, it becomes a lot harder to kind of like jack ourselves out of the matrix. Like it's harder to unplug ourselves when we find ourselves so ingrained. So if we can kind of keep one arm in social media and one arm out of social media and always be recognizing how these things are affecting our relationships with not only ourselves and our loved ones, but our neighbors and communities, I think we'll have a little bit more measured of a relationship. And if we treat social media a little bit more like mental junk food, maybe we won't totally improve our relationship, but maybe we'll just have it a little bit more metered and a little bit more cautionary than we typically do right now.
That's good. Okay. So then you're saying that my takeaway is then you're saying that social media in many ways is social junk food, right? Not a lot of meat, not a lot of vegetables or vitamins, not a lot of vitality. It's good. It's fun. It's not necessarily life affirming. You can fall into a darkness and spiritual holes. We all know about that, right? It's not necessary. If social media went away today, you would miss it, but it would not necessarily crush your life.
That's right. Even if you like, I work for an organization that helps publish spiritual content on the internet.
Yeah.
But like, if my ability to do that went away tomorrow, my hope is that the thousands of people who come to our website every day would be able to go to their local church or their community group, or if they don't have one of those, find one of those and find the same exact helps to walk more closely with Jesus than they're maybe finding with us. Mm-hmm. I do think there is a sort of superfluous nature to what we're doing on social media and on the internet that if it all went away, it would be sad. And there would be some things that we would rightly grieve about that, but we would all still be able to glorify God and enjoy him forever in the lives that we've been called to live.
Amen and amen. Chris, take a second. Talk to us about Terms of Service.
Yeah, I have a book. It's called Terms of Service. Came out this past February. It's all about really this conversation has been a perfect encapsulation of that book. Our relationship with the internet, social media, and otherwise needs to be more intentional. And I wrote about some ways that I think it maybe has affected us that we just don't realize. If you find it helpful, you can find it wherever you buy books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you like to buy books, Terms of Service by me, Chris Martin.
Very nice. Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by. Appreciate the insight.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.